When I think about Orphan Sunday, I think about just a celebration of worship resounding to the Father, to the fatherless, in churches literally all around the world who are saying, we are your people, adopted by your grace, brought into your family, and we're worshiping you for that together as your children, literally as a global family. And at the same time, we're saying together, we're praying together, we're committing ourselves together. How can we be a reflection of your character in the world around us? And to renew that commitment, to give opportunity for people who maybe have not even thought about the potential of caring for orphans through adoption or foster care, to put that before people and to see what God, the Father to the fatherless, by the power of His Spirit does as His church is focused on that literally around the world. And who can imagine the multiplying effects in orphans' lives, in people's lives, in the church, and ultimately in the world for His glory when that happens on that particular Sunday during the year.
As you may or may not know, I'm Allie Kramer. I am the ministry leader for Cedar Creek's orphan care and adoption ministry. We've started this ministry about 5 or 6 years ago just to support the church and people in the church that have gone through the adoption process that are, and just to provide resources for all avenues of orphan care and adoption and foster care and all the things that fall into that. I'm really excited because today is Orphan Sunday. Some of you may know what that is, but we've been taking part in Orphan Sunday for about the last 5 years. It was actually started over 10 years ago in Zambia, Africa, by a pastor there, and has come over to the U.S., and now Orphan Sunday is being celebrated this day in over 50 countries and over 500 churches. And it's just really fun to be a part of that and to know that so much of God's family today is focusing exactly on this, that we are a part of something really big and that God is just using it, David Platt said, to just create a movement through the world. He is so passionate about orphans. You see him talk about it from beginning to end of the Bible, and just how much that reflects his care for us in so many things. So today, we have the honor of having a few people come up here and talk with us, so you don't have to listen to me all day. And they're going to tell you just kind of their story and experience in being part of orphan care and adoption. And hopefully it'll be good. So if you guys want to come on up. I'm going to have each of you tell us just a bit about your involvement in orphan care and adoption and why you're on this panel today.
I'm on this panel for a couple of reasons. My name is Josh Kramer. I am Elizabeth's husband. We are currently in the process of adopting 2 children from Bulgaria. We haven't been matched with them yet, but we're about a year into the process. We are currently getting the last kind of set of documents together that we will send to the country to hopefully be on the waiting list by the end of the year. And once that happens, at some point in the next 1 to 5 years, they'll match us with a couple of kids, and we'll go there and meet them and then bring them back here. In addition to that, for the last several years that I've known Ellie, I've had the joy and honor and privilege of watching her start and lead and grow in the adoption and orphan care ministry here at church, and be able to be a part of some of the events that have happened and watch and participate in her kind of growing that ministry. So that's been a lot of fun as well.
All right, and my name is Susie Schulke. I started here at Cedar Creek over 10 years ago, and I first became involved in orphan care ministry through going on mission trips through Cedar Creek, actually. We went on a couple of mission trips to Haiti back in 2009 and 2010, and I was there when the earthquake happened in 2010, and that really just struck a, I felt more called to Haiti, more called to orphan care than I ever did before after that experience. And I just came back. I started grad school, going to school for social work because I wanted to work in international in adoptions. And I just had doors open up for an opportunity to go work at God's Little Angels Orphanage in Haiti. And I worked there. I went thinking that I would be there for about a year. I ended up staying for 3.5 years. The work I did there was at an adoption orphanage where they also did care for just children that were premature and malnourished, and then they'd go home to their biological families. But primarily it was an adoption orphanage, and is an adoption orphanage. And my job there was called update coordinator, and I would take photos of the children every month, send updates to the adoptive families that were waiting for the children to come home, and then I also coordinated sponsorship programs for the organization. I ended up staying there 3.5 years, and I just moved back in December. And now I have the privilege of working. I'm finishing my master's degree that I started before I moved to Haiti. So I'm going to school for social work, hoping to work in adoptions. And I landed an awesome internship in the Twin Cities in St. Paul at an agency called the Adoption Programs of Lutheran Social Services and Children's Home Society. So it's two agencies combine their adoption programs into one. So it's a big long name, but it's an amazing amazing adoption agency that does some awesome work. And I just feel privileged to be learning that aspect of social work and just getting that experience. So I'm excited to continue in this journey of working in adoptions and orphan care in general. So,
my name is Alan Rick. This is my wife, Ruth, and we are adoptive parents. About 5.5 years ago, we traveled to China and brought home an 8-year-old who's Jaden, and it fundamentally changed our lives in many, many ways. And the journey of walking through that process and incorporating Jaden into our family has been an adventure, but it's also been something that I wouldn't trade for anything, and God has used it in pretty powerful ways in our lives.
Great, thank you. You guys all kind of alluded to this, but how would you say God has used the experience to teach you about who God is and kind of what that means to you?
I get to start again. And I should apologize first. I discovered that I have an allergy to public speaking, so if you see my eyes water up a little bit, don't worry about it. But one of the biggest things that came to mind first was that I really like to kind of have things under control and know what's going on and plan things out, especially short-term things. Like, I wake up in the morning and immediately want to know everything that we're going to do for the rest of the day, and I like to write it all down and cross things off as we get to it and feel like, you know, things are going the way that they're supposed to. And God doesn't really seem to work like that ever at all. And he doesn't like me to want to work like that, I think, is what we've learned so far in a lot of this process. It's just not predictable. There's a lot of things that are never going to be in our control. And that's a lesson that I have to learn a lot. And it's frustrating, but it's also, it's an important thing that I need to learn, not just for this process, but for every part of my life. And the other biggest part, the other big thing that comes to mind is just that this process is, you know, it teaches me so much about how God gave up so much and worked so hard and did so much to rescue me from my sins. And it's really easy to kind of gloss over the hard part of that and say, like, my sins were forgiven and it's wonderful, and it is, but I was forgiven. My sins weren't. They still had to be paid for, and that cost God a lot. And so to be part of a process that is such an incredible picture of that is just a great starting point for the kids that we're going to end up with, that will be built into their story already when they come into our family, that God gave up so much to bring me into his family, and we will get to kind of have a starting point to teach them about that right away.
And for me, I have lots of things that I feel like I've learned through my experience and just through the privilege of living in another country, that God's taught me and revealed himself to me in ways I didn't even know possible. But I think the biggest thing, thinking about orphan care ministry and how that's impacted my life, is it always comes back to trust in timing. So I just have really learned how to trust the Lord in ways that I didn't know that I was going to need to. In moving to another country, in working with kids, dealing with the volatile situations that the kids were in that I saw there, and then also the things that I see here and the difficulties that kids in America have as well. And then also just working alongside adoptive families. It's a lengthy process and it's difficult. Like, there's no way around that. No matter how you shake it, whether you're doing domestic or international, adoption's not an easy, road to walk, but it's a blessed road to walk. Adoptive families always walk away, excited. And I just feel blessed to have the privilege to experience that road with adoptive families, encourage them through it, walk through that with them. And so the timing wise, I just have seen it over and over time and time again, how God's trusting in God's timing is key in a lot of areas in life. And you know, coming to Orphan Care Ministry, it really is a huge piece of it as well, especially for adoptive families and, working with kids that are, at risk, in need and things like that. Yeah, I feel very privileged, and God just taught me a lot. I've said something really great in first service, and I can't remember what it was right now. Okay, the timing piece is key, and I feel blessed, so I guess I would go with that.
And I can jump right off where Susie left off, because Alan and I weren't necessarily your picture of a normal, you know, we expect these people to adopt. Ours came because God took us to China with his choir from the university, and we wound up visiting orphans. They were just part of activities that had been planned for us. And by the time we went to come home, I was feeling like we were leaving someone behind. And God used that. That I learned through all of this, and I did say this first service, the orphan in, or the agency that we went through deals only with international adoptions. And they, in a video that the founders put together, said, you know, adoption is God's plan A. There is no such thing as plan B in God's kingdom. And that, it kind of struck a chord, but I had no idea in the beginning of that process just how God was going to show that to me. And I saw that the timing was a huge issue. We thought when we signed up, we'd get a little girl and that we'd have her home in less than 2 years. Well, 3.5 years later, we were still waiting. And Alan said to me, you know, Ruth, I just feel like we're being disobedient by not being willing to think about and look at a waiting child. Because any baby that we'd get now would not have been there when we were there nearly 4 years ago. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So we prayed about it. We said, okay. And immediately we had a referral for a boy. Alan may say something later on, but he's exactly the right person for our family. There were times that I really questioned that. There were times that I said, who is this Chinese boy in my house? But as I've walked through every day, God has given me new insights. So he's taught me that he has a plan. It's a perfect plan. The timing of that is perfect. And I had no control over that. Another thing that I learned was that, you know, I grew up in the church. I'd heard about God adopting me. I thought I knew all about that. Well, I was wrong. I didn't know a thing about it. I brought this stranger into my house, and he was 8. And an eight-year-old comes with certain baggage that a baby doesn't. I mean, it might be there, but it's not demonstrating itself just then. And it was hard. And I said more than once, adopting an older child is not for the faint-hearted. And I'm not so sure that I'm not faint-hearted. But God showed himself to be my strength, to be the provider, to move in amazing ways. And I began to gain a new understanding of what it means to be adopted. We come into the family. We don't necessarily look like the family. And for those of you who know Jaden, he doesn't look anything like us. but his actions didn't look like he was part of the family. He was. The way China did it, you picked up your child. The next day you went back and they said, "Do you still want him?" And we said, "Yes." And that was it. The United States recognized him as our son at that point in time, as did China. And so he was part of the family. He didn't act like it, though. And I realized that, you know, in his kingdom, when we're adopted into the family, we don't necessarily look like it in the beginning. And that's where sanctification comes along. And I've learned a lot about that just by watching God move in Jaden.
For me, two things really stand out. God dealt with two things in my life that really needed to be addressed. Number one was pride, and number two was faith. One of the things I felt before Jaden came home, I felt like I was a pretty good dad. I thought I had a lot of that down. And then Jaden came, and I realized, you know nothing about being a father. And God just said, you know, you need to think about this differently. You need to look at my example. You need to watch me father you and my people and grow in that way. And he really did have to deal with my pride. And I had to come humbly before him and say, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to communicate with him, let alone really teach him and train him. The other thing was I came to realize pretty quickly that as I interacted with Jaden, and I struggled with him because he was defiant toward me in certain ways, it was the exact same ways that I'm defiant toward God. It was pretty profound to have him not trust me and me say to him, Jaden, you just need to trust us. And God said, what'd you say? Yeah, I just need to trust you, don't I? And it was a very profound lesson because it seemed like I was looking in a mirror. And every time he expressed certain things, they were things I had expressed toward God and that I really needed to give over to him and let him handle. And I'm so thankful because God didn't just leave me in my pride, didn't leave me in my faithlessness, that he confronted me and asked me to give it over to him and let him do his work in my life that needed to be done so that I would see him for who he is.
I just want to echo a lot of things that they just said. I feel like as a pre-adoptive parent, I mean, I've been through this journey for a number of years, starting to lead this ministry, and we were sitting in a room of a bunch of couples that were older than I am and that were in the process of adopting, and, you know, they turned to me and said, well, Ellie, you're in charge of the ministry, go for it, and that was the first time that it was decided that I was in charge, apparently, and I felt just wholly unqualified at that point. I was single. There was no prospect of marriage on the horizon, and I had always had a heart for orphans and had a heart for adoption, but I was nowhere near being able to, in my book, do anything about it. And so I just really had to take that to God and say, okay, God, what does this look like for me right now? What abilities and gifts and what are you calling me to at this stage? And that was kind of the beginning of the ministry here at Cedar Creek, and that's looked like different things over the years. That's looked like fundraisers that we've done for Orphan Sunday, that last year was the ministry fair a lot of you were here for, that we had different organizations come in and say, you know, adoption care can be everything, orphan care can be everything from, you know, volunteering at Big Brothers Big Sisters to supporting Teamwork Africa to fostering to adopting. That it just looks 100 different ways, just like God calls us to so many different things, and it is specific to our gifts and our calling. But that just underlying feeling of being unqualified is something that God has really spoken to me about repeatedly through this whole process, and now it's coming up again with our adoption, is that, you know, in my brain, we were going to, you know, get married and have a couple biological kids, and once they were, you know, a little bit older and I knew that I was a good parent, then I would adopt some kids and we would know how to parent them because we'd done it, you know, and that's not the case. Josh and I currently don't have any kids, and this is just the path we've been called in right now, and it's very scary, and it's very easy for me to say, God, like, I can't do this. I mean, I say that all the time, and he's like, no, you can't, but I can through you, and I can with you, and let me, and trust me, and let me. And just walking that road continuously, just questioning it and saying, is this really where you've called me? And having him confirm over and over again that that's true. But it's been really hard. And at the same time, it's been amazing because I've seen, I mean, I tell people I feel bad for my husband because this is like being pregnant for years. The emotional roller coaster is just like crazy. And so there have been days that I've woken up and I've just said, you know, like, our kids are somewhere and they're not home. And I'm just in tears over them because I don't know where they are, and I don't know who they are, and I don't know what they have, and I don't know who's caring for them, and all these things that I just absolutely can't control in any way in the near future. And just laying that all at God's feet and trusting it completely and having to pray because I can't parent my kids directly. I have to let God parent them right now because that's the only contact I have with them is through God. And at the same time, through that, completely coming to a new understanding of how much God cares for me, because here I am just heartbroken for this child whose face and name and age I have no concept of, and he can just reach down and look at me the same way and just be brokenhearted over my sin and be brokenhearted over my trials and all those things. And just, I, like we've said so much, I understand him so much more as a father now, and I hope I continue to through this process than I ever did before. It's been really amazing. I guess I just want to talk about, I mean, we've kind of hinted towards this, but I guess what has been one of the bigger challenges you guys have faced, and how has God seen you through it? How has that shaped you and your faith?
I'll start first this time, Josh. Okay, the biggest challenge for me, and again, it's kind of going with what Ellie said, where she was starting the adoption ministry, just not knowing what that was going to look like. But I've always had a heart for orphans. The thing that just tugs at my heart the most is seeing children not have a family or just not have a caring adult in their life. Because there's kids that have families that don't have that caring adult that really knows what's going on and really is guiding them and directing them in the way they should go. So that's the thing that just, if I watch a movie, I will not cry unless there's a kid that doesn't have a family, and I can't handle myself. So, that's the one thing I just knew was on my heart. But being a 20-year-old in college, I had no clue what that could look like, what that meant. I just knew I had a passion and a desire to do something about orphans and things, but I didn't know how that could look. And now looking back, I am astounded at what God's brought me through and what he's allowed me to be a part of. I'm humbled completely. I've been a part of an orphanage that's doing some amazing work. I'm now a part of an amazing adoption agency. I have relationships with adoptive families and adoptees that I could have never fathomed 10 years ago. The challenge was not knowing and walking through and again, going back to trusting, just trusting that God had a plan and he would guide me through it. And that was not easy. There was many times I just said, I don't know what this is supposed to look like. So I just give up and not think about it for a while. And then it'd come up again in some way. And just being reminded that that is a passion I have. And then now look, like I said, looking back and realizing that he's just blessed me in that passion and given me a way to affect his kingdom, also using the gifts and the talents that I have. So, yeah.
Josh mentioned before the control thing, and through this whole thing, through our whole adoption adventure, come to understand that my ways are not God's ways and my thoughts are not God's thoughts is a very sobering process. You think you've got things figured out. You think you know what's going to happen next. You think you know what you have to do next. You think you know exactly the way you need to respond and the way you need to think and the way you need to feel, and then something happens and it's all gone. And you're standing there going, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I don't know what to do. And that's been a rather regular occurrence, actually. And it's amazing because even in the midst of that, God's there. And there are times when I've made tremendous mistakes with Jaden. There are times when my anger's gotten the best of me. And there are times I've had to go to him and apologize. And I have to trust God that that's all part of the process. And, you know, at the model, submission and humility and forgiveness and all those types of things. And it's really hard. It's really hard. But God has continually brought us through that and continually built our relationship and help us to understand each other better and learn to communicate and learn to understand and grow in that loving relationship in ways that I never thought possible. People oftentimes talk about how you love an adopted child versus how you love a biological child. I'm here to tell you it's no different. It really is no different. I don't love Jaden any less than I love Kirsten or Andrew. I don't love him any more than I love Kirsten and Andrew. It's just by the grace of God that he has placed this tremendous opportunity in our lives and has given us what we need to do it. And it's one of the hardest things they've ever done. It's one of the absolutely hardest things we've ever done, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Alan used to like to say that the year that at following when we brought Jaden home was the hardest year of our lives. And I would agree with that. It was very hard, and that was not to say that we had not been through hard things before that. You know, as some of you get to know us, you'll learn that that just is not true. And yet, here we had this child we'd never seen before. He was tall and slender. I mean, tall for somebody that I expected a shorter child, I guess. And he looked emaciated, and my heart just went out to him. And yet, I kind of alluded to this when I said he didn't look like part of the family, and that wasn't just in physical appearance. He didn't act like he was part of a family. He was so accustomed to being independent and finding independent ways of doing things. And I didn't share this first service. I'm going to share it with you guys, though. A few of you in the church have heard this story. When Jaden came home to us, he had a lot of superstitions and a lot of dark things that he carried with him. If you look at him now, his eyes are nice and bright, and they were just all squinty, like he was constantly giving us the evil eye. And one particular day, and this was one of the harder things that I went, he kept wanting to run away. He kept testing us. Is she really going to come after me? I prayed over him, and he squirmed and kicked and gnawed and clawed, and it wasn't fun. And sat down to pray. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. And in God's very still, small voice, I knew I needed to pray over him. So what do? Instead of praying over him, I call my husband. Honey, I think that maybe there is demonic activity with him. I think we need to pray over him. And Alan's like, oh, okay. And not that that terrified him or anything, but, and I don't think it surprised him. I don't know what he was thinking, but God, I hung up with him, and it was as though I heard an audible voice. What are you waiting for? Ooh, ouch. I went and prayed over that little boy. And later he came to me and he said, thank you. Now there's light in my life. It's not all dark. I mean, he didn't speak that well, so it was a little more broken than that, but that was the essence of it. And that was the start of something. I was able to tell him so much about God and he ate it up. He couldn't wait to learn more. And if you meet him and get to know him, you'll find out that that's just who he is. He's hungry. And even though when that evil presence was gone from him, he still didn't look like part of the family very much. And the things that we'd used to discipline our own kids, I mean, we'd always followed this become a student of your child, and we would, and we'd take into account their personality and their willfulness and things like that. And I didn't know Jaden. I had no clue where to start. And God was good enough to bring into our lives people who had worked in orphan care and did have a better understanding of what he might need. And the hardest part was just adjusting to that unknown for me.
I guess I assume this answer will probably change many times over the course of the process that we're going through, since we're still, you know, like Ellie said, we don't have any kids right now. We're still a ways away from having any. So right now at this point, I think one of the hardest things for us, and she kind of alluded to this too, was just to start and to know if what we were doing was the right thing, and to know if this was really really what God was asking us to do, or if we just wanted to do it, or if we something else. Or Ellie talked to me before we even started dating and kind of said, if that's the path that we're going to take, and if we get married, we're going to adopt some kids sometime. And I said, that's fine. we can do that. But right now, you know, why don't we just get some pizza and watch a movie, and we can deal with that. We can deal with that later. And that's, you know, that's kind of what my attitude was about it. And she mentioned this before, like, you know, we were going to do the rest of it first and get married and focus on that and have good jobs and buy a house and have all the money sitting in a little adoption pile. And then when we were ready, we would use it. And that just isn't the path that has been given to us. And we did get married. We're married now. we don't have any piles of money of any kind. But there was about a year after we got married, we were at the Christian Alliance for Orphans annual summit. It was a big several day conference where they have all manner of orphan care speakers and workshops and just everything that you can imagine. And they, you know, give information and all sorts of things. And one of the sessions that I was in, the speaker pretty much said, if this is something that God is asking you to do and you know that adoption is going to be part of your life, just do something. You should do something for it right now. And I kind of went to Ellie after the conference was over and we were comparing notes, and I said, I think we should start. I think we should talk to some agencies and, you know, kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. And I really expected her, just because of the way she is and the way I am, I kind of expected her to say, great, this is what I've been waiting for you to catch up, and here's all the paperwork that I've already filled out. And that isn't actually what happened at all. And it was a hard decision. And we, you know, we still go through times of that, of not really feeling qualified, like she said. And we don't know how to be parents. I don't feel like I'm a good parent now because I don't know anything about kids. And but there's just been a lot of confirmation and a lot of people in our lives that have told us this is the thing that we should be doing. And we're doing it.
Yeah, I think just building off what Josh said, what I've been saying all morning, it's just knowing what to do and taking the action. And like we've all said, not just trusting, not knowing how it's going to work out, not having a guarantee. And I think so many things that we do with God are exactly that. He doesn't give us an A, B, C, D list of what's going to happen when and exactly the day and time it's going to happen and how the funds are going to come in, because if we had a plan, we would ignore him. And he only tells us for today so that we come back tomorrow and ask again. And that's part of the relationship, but it's really hard. And there's just a lot of, just in so many areas of life, there's so many unknowns, and just knowing what we can't control. But I think of one of the things that really hit me years ago, part of this whole thing starting is that the SPUDS group, the singles minister here, many years ago decided to sponsor Kid through Teamwork Africa. And so they did a series of fundraisers and different events to raise money to sponsor her each year. And I believe they're still doing that. But at that time, I was part of SPUDS, and so I was part of that. And I remember just one day waking up and thinking, you know, this little girl, Rebecca, lives in Western Africa. She really doesn't have any way to provide for herself. She's 8 years old. She has no control over her life. And yet, tomorrow, she's going to find out that all of these people that she has never met and has no idea exist halfway across the world are going to feed her all year and send her to school. And just for that blessing to come from God and from God's family. And I look at our life and I think, you know, we don't have A, B, C, and D. We're not ready for this. I can't see a way for God to make this work because of all these things that I have figured out in my brain. This is how it should go because this is what makes sense. And, you know, I have to just let somebody, you know, I have to understand the faith of Rebecca to say, I don't know how this is going to work. I have no ability to make this work. And yet God is providing for me in a way that I could never imagine. And it's just happening for her. And that is the abundant love of God. And I have to just live that and trust that. And being forced to rely on that is awesome and terrifying and great. So, I'm sad to say we are out of time for today. However, I want everyone to know, I mean, we've talked about this before and with the ministry fair last year, that, you know, adoption is one way out of dozens, hundreds of ways that God calls the church to be part of orphan care and to be part of his heart for his children and the fatherless. And that may look like this. It may look completely different for you. As you're going through that process, like we talked about, and if you want to talk to any of us here, talk to the Downies, the Kansas, I'll plug you in with other people. I'll get you all the resources I can. If you just are wondering or have questions, feel free to come up and chat anytime. And I know we would all just love to be a part of your story, whatever, wherever it takes you, wherever God leads you. Because I know that not everyone is called to adopt, but everyone is called to be a part of God's kingdom in this way. And his heart is so much for his children. And that can just look so many ways, and it's amazing. There's no one way that's better than another. It's just following God when he calls you and being obedient in the scary times, and it's totally worth it. I think that's the number one thing we'd all say is we never would have signed up for it, maybe, but having done it, it's totally worth it. So I want to thank everyone for being a part of it today, and we're going to transition in and let you guys worship.